Good morning. Gentlemen, those of you that are fathers, happy Father's Day. The world sets aside a day to honor you as fathers. Sometimes it's a thankless job. Every day, it's a big thank you to you because of the sometimes an overwhelming responsibility that you have and the job that you're doing. Today, we're going to look at kind of appropriately, the world calls this Father's Day. We're going to look at the concept of godly men. Now, those of you that aren't fathers, it still applies to you. So don't think you're off the hook. Women, the concepts, most of them apply to you too. So don't start, yeah, you pay attention today, you know, to the husband and all this stuff. It applies to you too. But the focus is on men, godly men. And those of us that are men, I hope our goal is to be righteous and godly in God's eyes and to be pleasing to Him. One of those areas, and these are in no special order, one of those areas of being a godly man is if you are a father. Now, that does not apply to every man. It does not apply to every man, but we will look at that concept. The concept of the responsibility of husbands and fathers. There's no punching a time card on this one. We talked a little bit about this in Bible class today. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where it's my time. What I do on my time is my business. I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. We can be off our work schedule. We can get, you know, maybe set aside time to do this or to do that. But I'll tell you, as a husband and father, it's 24/7. It's not a thing of it's my time. You know, what father, when their kid comes to them, their son or daughter, 2 a.m, daddy, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, son, come back tomorrow. I'm off duty. Garfield's Gus. That never happens to you, does it, Garfield? I already gave you my time. Or even as a husband. Honey, I need you. I've got this problem. The wife is crying. She's upset. Make an appointment. I'm available tomorrow between the hours of such and such and such and such. Nowhere do men have those time frames. Now, it applies to moms and wives too, but we're looking at men if we want to be godly men. And I tell you, I've mentioned this a couple times already since then. Preston had a wonderful sermon last Sunday night about elders. And if we have these desires to develop ourselves to maybe be an elder someday, we've got to understand these concepts. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, Paul tells the Christians there in Ephesus, he says, husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It does not say, husbands, love your wife when it's convenient or when it's fun to do so. Husbands, if any of you that have been married or any of you that may get married, I hate to break the news. There are some times that it's not easy. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. There are some times that it takes effort and work. Paul says, husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church, us, fully. He gave himself. Not, we didn't get parts. We didn't get from a period of time to a period of time. He fully gave of himself to the utmost. To the utmost. Husbands, we have a responsibility to do that. In Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 6, says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." It doesn't say you shall teach the commandments of the Lord to your children by bringing them just to Bible school, just bringing them to Bible class and dropping them off. You shall teach them. Now, was Bible class good? Absolutely. This is, guys, this is not an out to not come to Bible class. This is not the excuse to sleep in an extra hour on Sunday morning to not come to Bible class. But it says, you shall teach them. And how do we do that? We do that in our life as we're walking, when we're sitting, when we're at home, when we're out and about. We're teaching our children. Every little aspect. The Word of God should be so obvious. If people looked at us, they should see it about us, whether we're opening our mouths or not. We have been told to teach our children. Our children should know, because we teach them, our actions teach them that we love them. Not between a certain period, not between 8 and 9. It's not a 9-to-5 job that you know, after that you're on your own. It's not until they turn 18. Those of us that are grown, hopefully we know our dads still love us, no matter how old we or they get. Fathers, teach your children that you love their mother, that you put her on a pedestal. Teach your sons how to treat a wife. They learn that. You teach them that. Teach your daughters what to look for in a man. By the way you behave as a husband and as a father, you're teaching your daughters the kind of man I want to marry. Teach them God's word. Is there anything more important than God's word that you could teach your children? If they take one thing out of the house as they leave the nest, if it's only one thing, hopefully it's God's word. And you're going to teach them what's truly important. What's truly important about life, because you're teaching them that. You're teaching them what's priorities to dad, that dad won't miss. He rearranges his schedule for this TV show. He will make sure he catches that TV show. He will not miss a game of such and such. When the so-and-sos are playing, he's watching them. You're teaching them what is important. You're teaching them how important God's word is to you. You're teaching them how important attending worship is to you. We are told to teach our children. Godly men are men of faith. Godly men are men of faith. Whether you're a husband or a father or single, godly men are men of faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without the demonstrating of your faith. In our Bible class on Sunday mornings, we just covered the concept in James about faith without works is dead. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is telling Timothy, he recognizes, he sees it in Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, that is something he sees in Timothy. It's obvious. It's obvious, like in Deuteronomy, put, you know, on their forehead, on, you know, bind it on their hands. You can see it in Timothy, and Paul sees it. Also in 2 Timothy, and Dick read this to us this morning in our scripture reading. He's addressing Timothy and he says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have to be faithful ourselves, men, and then teach others to do the same thing, to pass it on. Another quality of godly men is to be able to teach and to defend sound doctrine. To not only teach it, but to defend it. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Don't just preach the word when it's easy. Don't just preach the word when it's convenient. It takes effort. You do all those things to convince, rebuke, exhort. And how do you do that? With long suffering. We as godly men sometimes have people we study with that doesn't latch on to it immediately, that are sometimes combative, that have a thicker shell than others. We have to do it with all long-suffering and teaching. Jude 3 tells us to contend earnestly for the faith. That's a militaristic term. Stand your ground. To contend earnestly for the faith. Uses another military term here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. You're not going to compromise the truth. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And last but not least, we need to grow and mature. If we're not growing and maturing, we don't want to stay as a 5-year-old. I loved being 5. 5 was a fun time. It's amazing that I can remember back that long, but 5 was good. You only went to school for a little bit of a day. It seemed like all you did was play. I got to go to Mama's house a lot, and that was a blast. 5's good. But you know what? You have to mature. You have to grow. I haven't grown much since 5, but you have to mature. And God wants us as godly men, as godly people, as disciples of His. Men, women, it doesn't matter. But we're looking at godly men. He wants us to grow and mature. 2 Timothy 2, starting in 22, he's telling Timothy, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. We see a growth here, a maturity here, to not only to do certain things, but how to do them. How to correct that you must not quarrel. But that's so much fun. So much fun to kind of stir things up once in a while. Can't do that. In Titus 1, he's addressing to Titus the purpose why he left them in Crete. To develop elders. The idea that the church is incomplete without them. That the congregations are incomplete without that eldership. And they have to be mature to do that. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, For a bishop must be blameless. As a steward of God, not self-willed. Not self-willed. Not quick-tempered. Not given to wine. Not violent. Not greedy for money. But hospitable. A lover of what is good. Sober-minded. Just. Holy. Self-controlled. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That's maturity. That's what we all should strive for as Christians. Growth and maturity. Nobody displayed that growth better than the Apostle Peter. We look at Peter in his younger days, and he was just a card-carrying knucklehead. But he grew. He continued in his walk, and he grew. And he's writing to men that are elders. It says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The Peter that we think of grew and matured to become an elder. That's growth and maturity right there. Godly men have a big responsibility. Sometimes it seems overwhelming, men, but we have to step up to that to be faithful, to grow and mature, to lead the households that we have, and to lead the church. Women, you have responsibilities too. You're not off the hook, but we're looking at godly men today. Men, I know you're up to it. God knows you're up to it, but we have to do it. If you need to respond to the invitation, the call is out there. The call is there every day. To repent of your sins. To be baptized if you're not. To pray to God. If you need prayers of this congregation to help you with something, we are here for you. If you need to address sin in your life, do it now. Don't wait. Repent of your sins. Go on to overcome them and grow. Be godly men. Those of you that are married, you have even additional responsibilities with a wife. Those of you that are married with children have even more responsibilities. But I think we're all up to it. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let us stand and sing.